Oasis Audio presents Oz and Beyond by Michael O'Reilly. Read for you by Charles Constant. Preface. The first Oz book, The Wonderful World of Oz, was published in 1900. Therefore, Oz is just as old as the 20th century. Actually, this could be labeled the century of Oz, at least by American children and other lovers of fantasy. For roughly the first half, there was a new Oz book to look forward to at each Christmas season. From 1913 until 1942, that publishing event was as inevitable as the holiday itself. By 1951, the series had reached a total of 39 books, and Oz had become such a large and well-populated place that Jack Snow could publish his fanciful Who's Who in Oz, 1954, which at nearly 300 pages still left out a large number of the characters and did not attempt to list the places in that amazing country. Snow also included brief biographies of the five authors of the Oz books and the four illustrators. With only one more title published in 1963, which added two more authors and another illustrator, the official Oz canon was completed at 40 books. The canon, in this instance, refers to the original Oz book and those sequels published by the Riley & Britton, later Riley & Lee Company of Chicago. When the majority of the books in the original series went out of print in the 1960s, the rich store of Oz history became largely unavailable to the general public, which limited the acquaintance that most new readers had with Oz to those characters and incidents in the original book and in the version of the story presented in the classic MGM film. If the first half of the century could be called the era of Oz the series, the second half could be called the era of Oz the movie. Although the film had been made in 1939, had been successful then, and had been re-released to theaters, it was only with its historic first showing on television in 1956 and the subsequent annual showings that its version of Oz captured the minds and hearts of generations of American children so completely. Between the original book and the film, there can be few Americans, or for that matter, few people in any part of the world with access to books and television, who do not know the story of Dorothy and her three companions and their quest for qualities that only the humbug wizard can give them. So ingrained in the American consciousness is Oz that the story and characters are often used as though they were myth. Political cartoons frequently refer to the story. Public figures are often compared to the wizard. Adult novels treat Oz as source material. Theaters present musical and non-musical stage versions. And films, ranging from fairly faithful adaptations to disturbing adult visions of a dark future, claim Oz as source and inspiration. Nevertheless, Oz was not an anonymous creation from our folklore. Its creator was Lyman Frank Baum, 1856 to 1919. But who was he, and what exactly did he create? The first question has been answered in several biographies and biographical essays, beginning with Martin Gardner and Russell B. Nye's The Wizard of Oz and Who He Was, 1957. The second question is the one that this book attempts to answer. As I grew up, I was lucky to be able to experience the Land of Oz, both as it was presented in the entire official Oz series and as it was depicted in the film. I was exposed to the combined imaginations of the seven authors and the visual images of the five illustrators, as well as the vision of the writers and designers of the film. But the many versions of Oz are not always consistent, and this is noticeable even to a child. Talented authors continued the Oz series after Baum's death, but they had their own styles and ideas about how to develop the series. I love them all, but I began to try to identify just what part of that massive edifice Baum himself had created, and I wondered where he might have gone with the series had he lived longer. This study is the result of those investigations that began so long ago. It quickly became apparent that Baum's Oz cannot be fully understood without reference to all his fantasy writings. His imaginary countries are related, and it turns out that Oz is only part of his fantasy world. Therefore, this study deals with all his fantasies. However, it deals only incidentally with the latter Oz authors and not at all with the MGM film. I believe that this concentrated approach makes it possible to demonstrate that Baum had a more consistent and disciplined imagination than is generally recognized. In fact, Baum's ability to create believable and interconnected imaginary worlds that are larger than any of the individual stories that take place in them compares favorably with the creative genius of J.R.R. Tolkien.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?